Friends, and welcome back to another hour of memorable entertainment as we open the vaults of radio history and explore the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and invite you to join me around the old part of radio. Recently, I've been watching a series on PBS titled Country Music by Ken Burns, all about the history of my favorite genre of music. It inspired me to play a couple of radio plays featuring two great singing cowboys from the grand old days of radio. They are, of course, Gene Autry and Roy Rogers. Gene Autry's Melody Ranch ran from January 7, 1940 until August 1, 1943, and then continued from September 23, 1945 until May 13, 1956, all on CBS. The series starred Republic Pictures star Gene Autry, Pat Buttram as sidekick, and starting in 1941, Johnny Bond. The series falls under the variety of music category, as there was a lot of singing. There was definitely adventure, but not as much as occurred later in the Roy Rogers Show. Wrigley's Gum sponsored the series for its entire run, and most episodes were recorded at the CBS KNX Playhouse at Sunset and Gower in Hollywood. Today's episode is titled Dr. Reardon is Charged with Murder and was first heard at 6 p.m. on Sunday, September 17, 1949 on CBS. Enjoy.
Folks, and welcome to Melody Ranch with Gene Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the
Transcribed, your friendly local merchant who sells and displays healthful, refreshing, delicious double mint chewing gum invites you to meet all the folks here at Melody Ranch. Johnny Bond, Pat Buttram, the Cass County Boys, the Pinafores, Carl Kottner, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. But right now, here's the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
I had me a gal in Tulsa, and I thought she was my own. But she up and left me for a waddy from San Antonio. She didn't even tell me that she was leaving me. Now I'm the lonesomest cowboy down in the cow country. Got the cowboy blues, I'm blue as I can be. That old lobo howling at the moon ain't got a thing on me. Got a long gone lonesome feeling that I just can't seem to lose. I'm just a lonesome cowboy singing the cowboy blues. I'll sell my horse and saddle and catch me a cattle train. Leave my troubles behind me and I'll never come back again. And if you ever see her, just tell her this for me. She made me the lonesomest cowboy down in the cow country. Got the cowboy blues, I'm blue as I can be. That old lobo howling at the moon ain't got a thing on me. Got a long gone lonesome feeling that I just can't seem to lose. I'm just a lonesome cowboy singing the cowboy blues. Thank you very, very much, friends. And as I've said many, many times before, welcome to Melody Ranch. You know, saying welcome to good friends is something we all say time and time again, and really mean every time we say it. And I really mean it when I pass along this friendly suggestion, too. Treat yourself often to delicious, refreshing double mint chewing gum. You're going to like that grand double mint flavor every time you taste it. So cool, so refreshing. And smooth double mint is so pleasant and easy to chew. Really satisfying. So buy a package of delicious double mint today and enjoy it every day. That's delicious, refreshing double mint gum. I know that someday you want me to want you. When I'm in love, with somebody else. You expect me to be true and keep on loving you, though I am feeling blue. You think I can't forget you until someday you want me to want you. When I am strong for somebody new, and though you don't want me now, I'll get along somehow. And then I want you. I know that someday you want me to want you. When I am strong for somebody new, and though you don't want me now, I'll get along somehow. And then I want you. Thank you very, very much, folks.
Hey, Mr. Artery, hold it a minute there, will you?
Now what?
You are looking at Patrick J. Buttram, genius.
Do I have to?
Now, I'm serious. I'm going to open me up a roadside store.
Sounds very enterprising, Pat.
Yes, sir.
When's the big event going to take place?
Just as soon as possible. And I'm really going to do it up in a big way, too. For instance, you know in a city when they open a new store, they have searchlights that go 1,000 feet into the sky, you know?
Yeah, but don't tell me you're going to have searchlights that go 1,000 feet into the sky.
No, I can't afford a searchlight, but I'm going to get the same effect. I'm going to have a firefly back into a hot stove.
Sounds very, very brilliant.
Well, that's me.
Say, by the way, do you think you got enough stock to operate a store like that?
Well, I must say that that's a problem now. For instance, like this morning, I went down to my chicken roost and I found one egg. I was so discouraged, I almost just give up right then and there.
But, Pat, you shouldn't be discouraged. Instead, well, you should look to the future. Why, just think, one egg could hatch one chicken. And that chicken could lay more eggs. And they'd hatch more chickens. And pretty soon you'd have 2,000 chickens laying 4,000 eggs a day. Then think how much money you'd have. And all from just one little egg.
I don't think it'll work.
Why?
I ate the egg for breakfast this morning.
Fine thing.
Say, Mr. Artery, this is a kind of a touchy subject, but... You know, when a man goes into a big operation like a store, he needs money.
Oh, he does he?
That's right. So I naturally thought of you, Mr. Artery. Now, if we was real good friends, you'd loan me $50. Well, if we was just passing friends, you'd loan me $20. Well... Even if we was only a nodding acquaintance, you'd loan me $5. Well, ain't you going to say something?
Howdy, stranger.
Look, I'll even give you a half interest in my experiment as a security.
What experiment?
Well, I've invented a new kind of tomato.
A new kind of tomato?
Yes, sir. It's long, thin, yellow, seedless, and it has a thick peeling.
What do you call it?
A banana.
Very, very funny, I'd say, Buttram. Now, look here. If you'd spend less time cracking jokes and more time working, you'd have more money.
Listen, I'll have you know I work like a dog.
Yes, I know. And speaking of dogs, where'd you get that hound I saw you feeding this morning?
Oh, you mean Alexander?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's half pointer and half spitz. But I'm going to get rid of him.
How come?
He don't point where he spits.
Well, lazy river by the old mill run. That lazy, lazy river in the noonday sun.
Linger in the shade of a kind old tree. Throw away your troubles, dream a dream with me.
Up the lazy river where the robin's song awakes a bright new morning, we can loaf along.
Blue skies up above,
everyone's in love.
Up the lazy river, how happy you can be.
Up the lazy river with me, let's all go. Up the lazy river by the old mill run.
Up the river,
that lazy old river in the noonday sun. Linger under a kind old tree.
It's shady.
Throw away your troubles, dream a dream with me.
Up the lazy river where the robin's song awakes a bright new morning, we can loaf along.
Blue skies up above, everyone's in love. Up the lazy river,
how happy we could be.
Up the lazy river with me.
Brother, that song sure makes me lazy. Brings to mind the time you and me went fishing at Hopeless Creek, Gene.
Some fishing trip. No rod.
Yeah, but didn't we have a swell time anyway? Just resting and eating?
Look, Johnny, you were so busy eating you didn't have time to rest. Ham sandwiches, beef sandwiches, hard-boiled eggs, apple pie, bananas, coconut cake. Fried chicken, gingerbread, hot coffee.
Don't forget the double mint.
How could I? Long about the time you needed something to help your digestion. And that healthful chewing is a grand help, folks, besides after a good meal. That cool, refreshing double mint flavor goes great, too. Just seems to top things off. But unless you're like Johnny Bunn, you can't be eaten all the time. So treat yourself to delicious double mint any time of the day, when you want a swell chewing treat and a grand taste treat. Yes, sir, Double Mint's pleasant chewing goes right along with whatever you're doing. You like Double Mint gum. Doesn't matter about the lies that you told me. I know that you'll regret each little lie. And though you thought I'd weep upon your shoulder, down in Texas, darling, Texans never cry. And I don't care about the vows you've broken. I'm sure I'll never know the reasons why. And though you thought that I'd be broken-hearted, down in Texas, darling, Texans never cry. I know that you have found someone who's closer to your heart. As Texans say, I'll find a way to make another start. Since you have found some other lips to kiss you, I hope that you'll be happy by and by. And though it's true that I am gonna miss you, down in Texas, darling, Texans never cry. Well, thank you very, very much, gang. Incidentally, folks, we just made a record of that song a few days ago. Should be coming out very soon. We hope you like it.
Well?
Well, what?
Ain't you going to tell a story?
Well, I hadn't given much thought to it, to tell you the truth, Johnny. What kind of a story would you like to hear?
Oh, I didn't have nothing special in mind. But there must be a lot of people you know stories about. Doctors.
I wouldn't want to tell all of them.
Well, how about doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs? Any one of them would be all right.
Well, how'd you like to hear one story all about all three of them? A doctor, a lawyer, and even an Indian chief.
Are you kidding?
Well, why don't you listen and see?
Okay, I will.
Well, let's see here, Johnny. Seems to me this story All started one morning when I was out in back fixing the plowshare. Anyway, I guess my mind was really on my work, because before I knew it, Randy Marshall, a young attorney in town, had walked up and was saying...
You always chew your gum that hard when you're working?
Huh? Oh, hi there, Randy. I didn't hear you come up.
You didn't answer my question, Jim. You always chew your gum that hard?
I sure do. What brings you out here?
Doc Redden.
Doc Redden?
Yeah. Seems like Clyde Martin died last night, Gene, while the doc was operating on him. Oh. Mrs. Martin was out of town, and when she got back this morning, she claimed no one had given the doc permission to operate. So she had him arrested and charged with involuntary manslaughter.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But, Randy, Doc Redden wouldn't have operated unless that was the only way he could have saved his life.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I came out, Gene. You see, he's asked me to defend him, and I'd like to use you as a character witness.
Hear ye, hear ye. This court is now in session. Judge Oliver Wentworth presiding. First case, Mrs. Clyde Martin versus Dr. James Reardon. Charge, involuntary manslaughter.
Order in the court. Will the prosecuting attorney please take his case to the jury?
Thank you, Your Honor. Friends of this court and ladies and gentlemen of the jury, during the course of this trial, I will prove that Dr. James Reardon acted far beyond the authority vested in him as a physician and surgeon. For completely ignoring the ethics of the medical profession, he acted without permission of the patient or his nearest of kin, and in so doing, took the life of a fellow man unnecessarily. Furthermore, I will prove these accusations beyond a question of a doubt, and will demand you to find the defendant, Dr. James Reardon, guilty of the crime of involuntary manslaughter.
And then young Randy Marshall, the doctor's attorney, began his opening statement.
Ladies and gentlemen.
For almost a solid hour, he argued, pleaded, and reasoned, but the jurors' faces remained cold and unimpressed.
So, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I maintain that Dr. Reardon took the only possible course in performing this operation. It was the one chance that he had to save Clyde Martin's life. Unfortunately, it failed. Now I'd like to call Mr. Gene Autry to the stand.
Gene Autry will take the stand. Do you, Gene Autry, swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Proceed, Mr. Marshall.
Thank you, Your Honor. Go ahead, Gene.
Well, Judge, I guess what I really came up here to say is this. Everyone in our town loved Doc Redden. That is, until 3 days ago when he tried to save Clyde Martin's life. Well, maybe that was a mistake. Maybe he should have stayed home that night and sent out bills. At least, that way, he'd never be sitting in this courtroom today charged with manslaughter. No, instead, his conscience would be charging him with the same thing. So he went. And when he got there, he did the best he could. Just as he's done around here for the past 35 years. You ought to know that, Tom. You, Tom Clayton. Remember 2 springs ago when you called the doc over to your house in the middle of the night?
I'm afraid you've got a very sick little girl there, Tom. Looks like diphtheria.
Oh, Doc, you got to help her. You just got to.
I'll do all I can, Tom. Now suppose you get busy and boil some water.
Okay. And, Doc, if you save her, I'll never forget you.
Remember that, Tom? For 2 nights and 2 days, Doc Redden didn't leave your little girl's bedside. And because of him, she lived. Then there was another time. You should remember this one, Mrs. Beavers. You called him when blood poisoning set in your husband's leg. I remember because I drove the doc out to your place in my buckboard.
Looks pretty bad, Mrs. Beavers. Sam may have to lose his life.
Oh, no. No. Oh, doctor. Sam's got to be able to walk again. He's just got to be able to walk and work. Oh, can't you save it, doctor? If you do, we'll never forget you.
And the doc did save him. And Sam walks and works today, thanks to him. And do any of you remember another day? Doc Reardon Day, it was called. Everybody in town gathered in the square to pay tribute to him. Folks of every race, creed, and color.
So, we of Chippewa tribe give great thanks to our white friend, Doc Reardon. Him save life of many Indians because him understand our people. We never forget him.
Sure, you all remember those things about Doc Reardon. You remember how he let you pay him potatoes, eggs, or in some cases, just never pay him at all. You remember all that, but now you condemn him for trying to save a man's life. Why, he saved the life of someone near and dear to almost everyone in this courtroom. But most of you seem to have forgotten.
Order! Order in the court. Mr. Autry, I'm certain that all that you've just said about Dr. Reardon is true. The fact remains, however, that it is possible that he is liable in this instance, no matter what great things he has done before.
In that case, Your Honor, if I may, with permission of both you and Mr. Marshall, I'd like to call on one more witness, Dr. Randolph Bellamy of the State Medical Board.
Will Dr. Randolph Bellamy take the stand? Dr. Bellamy, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Go ahead, Doc.
Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, last night at 11 p.m., I performed an autopsy on the body of Clyde Martin.
Order! Order in the court! Proceed, Doctor.
Yes, Your Honor. After examining the tumor on Mr. Martin's brain, I found that it was of a fatal nature. Dr. Reardon ceased operating when the patient died. But had he gone further, he would have discovered that the tumor had grown to such an extent that, regardless of what he'd done, the patient would have succumbed within 24 hours. Well,
Johnny, after that, the judge gave his closing remarks and dismissed the jury. And for the next 45 minutes, not a soul in the entire courtroom made a move to leave their seats. And no one spoke. They all seemed to be waiting for just one thing, the jury room door to open. Seconds ticked on like years, and then finally...
This court is in session again. The case of Mrs. Clyde Martin versus Dr. James Reardon. The charge, involuntary manslaughter.
Has the jury reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor. We, the jury, find the defendant not guilty.
And so, Johnny, Dr. James Reardon went back to being just a plain country doctor. Funny thing, actually all those folks needed was a little memory jogging. You know a country doctor's life isn't an easy one. They work day and night, often without adequate equipment. Drive many a mile over rough roads and wildernesses to help those who need them. And asking, for the most part, nothing in return. So I, for one, propose a toast to the country doctor. May he find reward and satisfaction in the faces of those he cared for, and contentment in the life he gives to so many.
Oh,
Folks, the name of this next song is The Rim of the Canyon. It also happens to be the name of a motion picture, which might just happen to be playing at your neighborhood theater. In which case, if you might just happen to go, you might just happen to hear this song being sung by someone who just happens to sound like me. Oh, well, here it is.
I can, by reaching on high, touch a star in the sky. From the rim of the canyon, low, I can see far below, where the cool waters flow. From the rim of the canyon,
gazing on the wonders that rule at God's command, seems that he's so near me, I can feel the touch of his hand.
Night and the day is in flight, what a glorious sight from the rim of the canyon, from the rim of the canyon, from the rim of the
Well, friends, it's goodbye for another Melody Ranch party. But remember, the Latch String will be out again next week at this same time and over these same stations. Meanwhile, anytime you want a real chewing treat and a real taste treat, enjoy healthful, refreshing Double Mint gum. I always keep a package handy in my pocket where I can reach it anytime I want. And I'm suggesting that you do the same. Keep a package of delicious Double Mint handy all the time. And now, folks, this is Gene Autry asking you to keep thinking of us until we're back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gentleman, I'm back in the saddle again. Riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right, back in the saddle again.
Be sure to join us again next week at the same time and over these same stations when the Wrigley people will again present Gene Autry, who may soon be seen in the Columbia picture Riders in the Sky, and who, beginning Thursday, September 29th, will be appearing in person with his big championship rodeo at Madison Square Garden, New York City. This is Charlie Lyon. This program is transcribed. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I hope you enjoyed the wonderful music and storytelling of Gene Autry. You just heard the episode Dr. Reardon is Charged with Murder from the series Gene Autry's Melody Ranch. The episode first aired on the evening of Sunday, September 17, 1949 on CBS. Next up is The Singing Cowboy, who replaced Gene Autry with Republic Pictures while Autry was involved with a contract dispute. The Roy Rogers Show ran from November 21, 1944 until July 21, 1955, first on Mutual, then on NBC. The series is a straight-up Western adventure with some great singing by Rogers. Other cast members include Rogers' wife, Dale Evans, and sidekick, Pat Brady. Today's episode is from 8 p.m. Friday, March 14, 1952, on NBC, and is titled Lee Burlow Gang. Enjoy.
P-O-S-T.
P-O-S-T. Post. The serials you like the most brings you the Roy Rogers Show, starring the king of the cowboys himself, Roy Rogers.
It's roundup
time on the double R bar. So saddle your horse, 'cause we're gonna ride far.
The Double R Bar Ranch transcribes stories and songs of the real West with the Whippoorwills, the wisest trail scout of them all, Jonah Wild, played by Forrest Lewis, the Queen of the West, Dale Evans, and in person, the King of the Cowboys, Roy Rogers.
Well, howdy, folks. This is Roy Rogers. All set for a good breakfast in the morning, buckaroos? You are if Mom keeps that Post cereal shelf filled, because there's nothing like Post cereals to start the day off right. You know, you can always count on anything bearing the brand name Post. Well, sir, we've been told that Lee Bulow and his gang are operating all around our territory. But so far, they haven't dared hit Mineral City. And things are pretty quiet here right now.
Not every day your bank deals in sums as big as this, eh, Mr. Pratt?
It's a lot of money, Pete.
$4,250. Ma and I done real well to save that much in our lifetime, considering everything.
Well, we'll count it out now.
Hard sometimes to put a dollar away when there were so many things we'd like to have had. But we're happy we did now. I'm meeting Ma at the real estate office. We're buying us a little house and a few acres. The old Robinson place. You probably know it.
Yeah.
I figure what with the garden we raise and the odd jobs I can get, we'll have a real comfortable old age. Been a long time coming, but cheer now.
There you are. $4,250.
Golly. Oh, lad. It scares me. Well, now to start us a new life. Good day, Mr. Pratt.
Peter Nicholas picks up his money and walks toward the door of the bank. His steps are slow with the weight of old age. His shoulders are stooped from long years of hard work. But his lined face radiates a light of happy hope. Nodding a friendly greeting to a man entering the bank, Pete steps outside. Almost instantly, a group of horsemen emerge from around the corner at the end of the street. Ride straight for the bank. Suddenly, Pete finds himself directly in the path of plunging hooves. The horsemen are riding the old man down. He falls. One of the men leaps from his horse, grabs Pete's money, and the gang continues on its way. Peter Nicholas lies in the dust of the street where he has fallen, sobbing hopelessly. His money is gone. The money he and Ma put by dollar over 40 years' time. With it went their dream of a peaceful, unharried old age. Townspeople are running toward the bank. Among them is the sheriff. Here comes Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, and Jonah, too.
Get back here. Stand aside. Let's find out what happened.
Pete, are you all right?
Oh, he's hurt, Roy.
Here, let me help you up. Them no good polecats running a man down.
Pete had just drawn out his life savings, Roy. He was on his way to the real estate office to buy that old Robinson place so he could retire.
We'll get your money back. That's a promise, Pete.
How many of you men will volunteer to ride a posse?
You'll be wasting your time. It was Lee Bulow and his gang got my money.
Are you sure?
I recognized him. He lead his gang to their secret hideout. Nobody's ever been able to find it. Law's been trying for months and...
Sheriff, you and the posse trail Bulow direct. His hideout's located near Hard Rock somewhere. Dale and Jonah and I will do some investigating over there, and maybe we'll dig out enough information to know where these rattlers hole up.
You let me ride with you, Roy. Them all want me to be fighting.
Okay, Pete. And this time we'll put an end to Bulow's gang. We'll find the hideout, or the sheriff and his posse will track them down. That's for sure.
After a full day's ride, Roy, Dale, and Jonah and the gentle old man have crossed the mountains. and are entering Hard Rock, a dusty, ramshackle little town. Few strangers come here, for Hard Rock has only one business: protecting men who follow the Owl Hoot Trail, supplying them with a safe place in which to hide or celebrate. Strangers are not wanted.
Hoo-hoo, let's tie up here.
Hey, there looks like a fine souvenir shop up at the end of the street.
Where?
Right, in the building with the old Dutch windmill on top.
You'll get a souvenir there, all right.
That place is the Grinding Wheel, one of the most notorious hangouts in the country.
Well, they don't sell silver spoons engraved with pictures of the town or bric-a-brac or nothing like that, do they?
I'm afraid not, Jonah. Hey, wait. Stay here a minute. I don't know whether you noticed or not, but see that hombre getting off his horse up ahead?
Yeah.
No bric-a-brac.
We passed him just before we got into town.
Big disappointment.
How'd he get up there, then?
He must have turned around and rode for all he was worth to get ahead of us. He may be a lookout stationed to give warning when strangers come into town.
Fine town, this is.
He's heading for the Grinding Wheel, Roy.
That means he is a lookout, and he's going to announce we're here.
What's our next move?
You and Pete head on over to the hotel. The manager's a friend of mine. Ask him to let you go up on the roof and watch the trails leading into town.
See if we can spot Bulow's gang, huh?
The minute you see any riders moving in from the mountains, let me know.
Well, where'll you be?
At the Grinding Wheel. We're going to have to bluff it through now that we're here. Jonah and I will inquire for Bulow and see what happens.
Hey, the windmill on the roof started turning, Roy.
I see it. I don't like the looks of things, Jonah.
Me neither. Heck of a town that don't sell bric-a-brac.
Well, let's see what kind of luck we have.
Yeah. Say, these fellas in here look as if they didn't know whether it was raining or Tuesday. And what's more, I don't believe they give a what do you have.
Just take the lead from me, Jonah.
Roy, about a week more and I can have the book I'm writing all finished, if I live. So be careful, won't you?
This is Andy Sales coming towards us. The boss, I think.
He's bigger than a load of hay, ain't he?
Yeah. Maybe I ought to warn you gents that nobody comes in here except by invitation.
We're looking for a man named Bulow. Got any idea where we can find him?
He ain't here.
I ask where we can find him.
You don't want to find him. You want to get out of here.
Oh, if Dorothy May could see me now.
Now go on. Start moving.
Watch who you're shoving, Sales.
Roy pushes Sales hard. The man stumbles backward, grabbing for his gun. He regains his balance, faces Roy, gun in hand.
Pinky, Spike. Outside, do that job. Now, Rogers, I'm going to be big-hearted. I'm going to have you taken back across the mountains. I'd advise you to go peaceable, because if there's any fuss...
Sales has come up to Roy. His swarthy, leering face is close to Roy's own.
If there's any fuss at all, we'll shoot to kill.
Roy's fist catches Andy Sales squarely on the jaw. Then, before Sales can recover, another. And another. Sales' big body wavers, crumples to the floor.
Draw your gun, Jonah. Stand back. The first man who makes a move gets hurt.
And what's more, you stay hurt.
One of you men, you there. You locked the door after we came in. Now open it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Mr. Rogers. Yes, sir.
Time to leave here, Jonah.
Yeah, shoot me.
For your benefit, Sales, we're staying in town till we find Bulow. Make something of it if you can.
Old cat could be running a nice bric-a-brac store instead of a joint like this.
Come on, get that door open.
Yes, sir, Mr. Rogers. It's coming right now, sir. I'll have it. There.
Come on, Jonah.
Polecat.
Walk down the street toward the hotel.
Well, what was you in such an all-fired hurry to get out of there for, Roy? We had him.
Yeah, but before we got him, Sales sent two of his men outside. Told them to go do some job.
Yeah, I heard that.
That job may have been to get Dale. We know they spotted us riding into town. They might know. But... hey. There she is, motioning for us to hurry.
Convolutions.
Trouble can happen fast here. This is Bulow's home ground. Anything goes to keep outlaws protected.
There they are, Roy. The mountain trail.
I see them, Dale.
They're riding away, though. Maybe it ain't Bulow's gang.
It is, all right. When we first come up here, they was heading this direction.
Yes, sir. It was just as though they'd gotten a signal, Roy.
Maybe they did get a signal. From some of the rattlers Jonah and I met up with. Pete, you wanted to help. Now's your chance.
Just say the word, Roy.
I want you to get on your horse and find the sheriff.
Why?
We'll be able to see you past the outskirts, and if they try to stop you, it'll be between here and there.
Yeah, I'll hurry.
Good luck.
Oh, he's a real nice fella, and I hope we get his money back. But we'll never do it as long as the sheriff is mixed up in things.
Now, just because the sheriff has beaten your time with Dorothy May is no reason...
Yeah, beaten whose time? He just... Well, I say, there ain't nothing between Dorothy May and me except pure business.
Oh, sure.
Well, sure, she's typing the book I'm writing, that's all.
Now, Pete's downstairs. Keep a sharp watch now. We can't let anything happen to him.
Maybe we should have gone ourselves, Roy.
Poo on the sheriff. Say poo, poo, poo.
No, because as soon as Pete's on his way safe, we've got to find out how signals are sent to Bulow's gang, and then send some signals ourselves inviting them to come back.
That's a good idea.
If we can time it right, they'll run right into the sheriff's arms. If not, we may have to handle them alone.
If you could spend a day around a ranch, like the Double R Bar, know what you'd find? The most important meal of the day is breakfast. Yes, sir, that's the meal that gets everyone up, on his toes, ready to tackle anything. And you can bet you'd find Post Sugar Crisp on the breakfast table, ready for anyone who wants a really delicious cereal treat. Mmm, that wholesome sugar and honey-coated puffed wheat helps start any day off right. How folks love a great big bowl full of it with just milk or cream. No sugar needed. It's already sweet. Of course, Post Sugar Crisp is a wonderful treat to keep handy all day long because it's a perfect snack between meals, too. And you can also dig right into the package, scoop up a handful as is, and eat it like candy. No matter how you have it or when, Post Sugar Crisp is fun to eat. You try it. Get Post Sugar Crisp in the giant or regular size package with the three little bears on the front.
Roy, Dale, and Jonah wait on the roof of the hotel in Hard Rock, watching the road that leads out of town. Pete Nicholas is to travel that road alone in an effort to get out of town and locate the sheriff's posse. While Pete is gone, Roy hopes to discover how messages are sent to Bulow's gang in the mountains, then set up a trap to bring them into town. But first, Pete must get away safely.
There. He's out of the hotel.
Yeah. Say, Roy, how long are we going to have to wait after Pete is safe before we go into action?
Oh, probably about an hour. We want to have the sheriff get here ahead of Bulow, but not too far ahead, or word might leak out.
Sheriff. Pooh.
Keep your mind on the business at hand.
We will.
Well, what did Dorothy May see in an old feller like him?
Old fellow like who?
The sheriff. You're bound determined to say he's beaten my time with Dorothy May, and it ain't no such.
Did you find out for sure the sheriff was calling on her the night she wouldn't let you in?
Well, I kind of hinted to her that it was. But instead of answering me direct, she just flicked some dust off of my lapels and smiled out there, fetch me sandwich smile, and says in her smooth voice, Dale, when she coos at you with that smooth voice, I feel just like somebody is a-rubbing my back with a handful of pussy with
it. Oh, Jonah. Well, go on. What did she say in her smooth voice?
Yeah.
Well, she says, Jonah, I don't believe I ever met a man as strong as you are.
Oh.
Say, Pete's going to make it all right.
Just a couple of jumps more and he hits the mountain trail, Roy.
Dorothy May was a-changing the subject, you see. I say she was changing the subject. And that might work with a fathead like the sheriff, but it didn't work with me. No, sir, I investigated. Mm.
Is that what you were doing when you disappeared yesterday afternoon?
Yeah. I timed myself, you see. So I got to the school just before school was out. And I hid behind one of the trees in the front yard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they come out a-carrying that new camera that somebody gave Dorothy May, and they stopped right under the tree that I was a-hiding behind. She'd snap his picture while he giggled. And then he'd snap hers while she giggled. Oh, man, I had to have the feel of iron to stay where I was that day.
Well, what are you going to do about it? Anything?
Well, first time I catch a sheriff without his badge, I'm going to hit him on his fat nose.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I'm going to beat his time and play Dorothy May along until she ain't good for nothing but to set at the window and sigh for me.
Mm.
Then I'm going to pull him a fast one.
What's the fast one?
Well, by that time, she'll have my book typed, and I'll walk through her door, and I'll never come back. I say, I'll never come back. I'll be on my way to a big town where I can cut a wide swath.
Oh, Jonah, that's about
and then she won't have nothing to do evening except correct examination papers and buffer nails.
Jonah, you're a mighty heartless man.
Pete's hit the mountain trails, Roy.
Yeah, I know. But we'll stay right here for an hour or so, where we can see what goes on in town, then we'll start work in earnest. We won't go in the grinding wheel. We'll wait in the doorway next door.
We understand, Roy.
And nab the first man who comes out of the grinding wheel and see if we can persuade him to talk.
Oh, by talking, you mean tell how signals are sent to Bulow's gang.
That's it. Get to the cafe as soon as... Hey, hold it.
What's the matter?
Convolutions.
Right outside, coming up to the hotel. That doorkeeper for the grinding wheel.
Yes, sir, Mr. Rogers. Yes, sir.
That fella?
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers, quick, let me in. Don't go outside.
What do you want?
Talk fast.
I don't know if you remember me, Mr. Rogers. I work for Mr. Sales at the cafe. Don't ever tell anybody I came here. Mr. Sales would kill me if he found it out. They got the man who was with you.
Oh, no.
What's that?
He sent some of his gun slicks after the fella. They caught him on the mountain trail, brought him back to the cafe.
That can't be.
We was watching the whole time.
They knew you was. That's why they waited until he got into the mountains. And they circled around and brought him in from the other end of town.
You're lying. You're setting a trap for us.
No.
One chance in 1,000 they have got
people. Hurry.
All right. We'll go back. But you're going with us.
Yes.
You'll walk through the door of the cafe the same time we do. Come on, let's go.
The life of a human being is more precious than any of the world's riches. For that reason and that reason alone, Roy, Dale, and Jonah go with a fawning man who claims to be double-crossing Andy Sales. They ride up to the cafe this time. Silence greets them. Silence and the almost deserted appearance of the street.
Come on.
I don't like this quiet. It makes me feel
there's a couple of hombres in that doorway behind us.
Say, they're posted all around us in every direction.
Don't go for your gun, Rogers.
Oh.
It's too late for that.
You sure it's too late, Sales?
Try something and see. You're surrounded. Drop your guns, belts and all, right where you are.
I done my work well, didn't I, Mr. Sales? I tricked him good, real good.
We've got a pretty good idea why the old fellow who was with you left. You sent him to get the law. That means you found out something. But whatever it is, you'll never tell it to the law. You won't be able to talk by the time the law arrives. Now start moving. We want you inside. Where you are. Don't go any further.
I'll close the door, Mr. Sales. I'll close the door right away.
Before you do that, start the Dutch mill.
Should I hang lanterns on the blades first? The sun's going down.
No.
But the sun's going down. Mr. Bulow might
not
see
it
moving.
You nothing else.
Yes, sir, Mr. Sales. Yes, sir, whatever you say.
So that's how Bulow and his gang get your signals. The old Dutch mill.
Hi, Doggy, sure that's enough. It.
You got smart a little too late, Rogers. We're sending for Bulow. He'll be here and take care of you within the hour. By the time the law arrives, they won't be able to find even a sign that any of you were ever here.
Don't be too sure, Sales. The law moves fast sometimes, and a posse may get here before Bulow drops around. It's Bulow's gang, Dale and Jonah. It's not
yes,
the posse.
Yes, I know the sheriff would never make it. An old fella like him, locked up joints. Or every time he sits down, they can't get him to standing without using a crowbar.
Do you think we're done for, Roy?
Here they are, Bulow. Take them to hideout and get rid of them. I don't want anything further to do with this.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we met face to face, Bulow.
And we won't stop to talk over old times. Get up and start walking toward your horses.
Sure, but from what I've overheard, I understand we have a chance to see your hideout.
Yeah, that depends. We may kill you on the way.
That'd be a shame if you did. We've been sort of counting on seeing the hideout.
Within minutes, Roy, Dale, and Jonah are on their horses, riding under guard in the mountain area outside Hard Rock. They travel slowly, for the sun has set. The narrow trail twists and winds around a steep precipice. They enter wild country, completely uninhabited, probably uncharted as well. Four members of the gang ride ahead to break the trail. Then Roy, then Dale, then Jonah. Finally, the remainder of the gang. Roy wonders if their silence is not a bad sign.
Hey, Jonah, the moon's getting behind the cloud. When it gets all the way behind, I'll drop off the trigger. You follow my example and pass word back to Dale to do the same.
Jonah does as he's told. All three know the danger. Once off the horses, the only possible route of escape was a drop over the side of the cliff. Roy glances back at Jonah, slides from the saddle. Jonah follows suit, then Dale.
Whoa, turn around, Trigger. Go back, head for home. Rush him off the trail. Head for home, Trigger. Jump and hope we make it, Dale and Jonah.
Roy, Dale, and Jonah wait only to see Trigger charging back to the line of startled outlaws and make the perilous jump. Hooves fly, horses squeal, men shout. As horses and riders plunge over the cliff, Roy, Dale, and Jonah jump.
Dale and Jonah, are you all right?
I made it, Roy.
I think I'm alive, but they know what we're up to. We've got to get guns.
Guns? How?
The outlaws trigger-proofed off of the trail have guns. We'll take them.
Well, we've got guns now.
You bet.
What happened to Bulow?
Well, he and the three men who rode ahead of us on the trail must have gone on ahead.
But Bulow was the man we wanted most.
As long as we've got those others tied up down below, we have a good chance of taking Bulow, too. Hey, listen.
That's Bullet.
What a situation.
Here, Bullet. This way, fella. Come on, fella.
Roy. Roy Rogers.
The sheriff.
Yeah, pooh. The giggling goon got lost again.
Hey, good boy, Bullet. Good boy.
Bullet ran on the trigger and let us back, Roy.
You're just in time, Sheriff. Have part of your posse go over the side of the cliff and get those men down there. Bulow's going on ahead. We'll put Bullet on his trail and take him.
Partner, nobody's going to have to ride herd on you to eat breakfast. No siree. Once you try new, improved post-toasties, the heaped good cornflakes, you'll get up and go for them, because you're heading for the best thing that's happened to corn since the Indians discovered it. Mmm, flakes of sweet kernel flavor, crackling fresh. They won't mush up in milk.
Post-toasties, heaped good cornflakes. The best thing that's happened to corn since the Indians discovered it. Heap good corn flakes. Post-toasties, heap good corn flakes.
Say, big Indians, little Indians, everybody's wild about those fresh-tasting post-toasties. And with sugar and cream, they're heap good nourishment, too. Tomorrow, head straight as an arrow for your favorite grocers and ask for new, improved post-toasties.
Post-toasties, heap good corn flakes. The best thing that's happened to corn since the Indians discovered it. Heap good corn flakes. Post-toasties, heap good corn flakes.
You better follow the example of your men, Bulow, and come on out while you're still able to walk.
Come and get me! Yeah, come on!
Hold it, Sheriff. I can see him inside the cabin from here. I'll bring him out.
Want another gun, Roy?
No, this one's fine.
There goes the polecat's hat.
Right aboard right in front of his nose.
Now, hold your fire! Hold it! Now, come on!
Well, make it quick! We'll take these four on in, Sheriff. You'd better take your posse and head on over to Hard Rock and clean house there.
Roy, man, I know we can't ever repay you for getting our money back, but we had a little talk and decided you ought to have this as a sort of a memento to show you we do appreciate what you've done.
What is it, Pete?
A ring. Friendship ring, sort of. I gave Ma when we was first engaged. Couldn't afford nothing better. The Lord knows she deserved it. He thought if you can't use it, Roy, maybe Dale could. And you could see it on her finger.
Oh, Pete.
Pete, I'll tell you what. We'll accept this ring with thanks from the bottom of our hearts. And now, we're giving it back to you so you can put it on Ma's finger again as a sign of our friendship and love for you two.
Yeah, thank you, Roy.
Where is he? Where is that sniveling, sneaking, obnoxious, disreputable? Oh, there you are.
Who, me?
Yes, you.
What were you doing hiding behind a tree in the schoolyard the other afternoon?
Hiding behind a tree in the schoolyard? Now, leave me think.
Don't lie! Don't try to wiggle out of it. I've got proof that would stand up in any court of the land. Look at this.
Whoa.
Look at it.
Take it easy.
32 pictures and your ugly mug sticking out from around that tree in every last one of them. You ruined the whole roll of film.
Well, now, at least she's here. Well, yeah, now here's you and me. Here's Dorothy May and me. Yeah, yes, I remember the silly giggle you gave when you was taking this one.
No, don't remember.
And after this one, you kind of stroked your hand, sly-like, when you handed the camera back.
I did not.
You did, too, and you're a polecat for doing it.
Now take off your coat.
I'll take it. Dorothy May's mine, and I'm protecting her from such as you.
Take off your coat, I say, tailspin.
I think we ought to get out of here.
So do I.
It's so noisy a person can't hear himself think. Besides, it looks as though these two young boys have a problem they want to settle.
That's all for now, folks. This is Roy Rogers saying to all of you from all of us, goodbye, good luck, and may the good Lord take a liking to you. See you next week.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
The Roy Rogers Show is brought to you by Post Cereals, each week at this same time, with the Whippoorwills, Forrest Lewis, Dale Evans, and the king of the cowboys himself, Roy Rogers. An Art Brush production, transcribed, directed by Tom Hargis, script by Ray Wilson, music by Milton Charles. Featured in today's cast were Frank Hemingway, Herb Butterfield, Tim Graham, Earl Lee, and Leo Curley. This is Art Ballinger speaking for
POST
Post Serials.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
Just sing a song and drink the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you. Till we meet.
What a great adventure, topped off with some great Western singing. You just heard the episode Lee Burlow Gang from the series of Roy Rogers Show. The episode was first heard the evening of Friday, March 14, 1952 on NBC. I'm so glad that you were able to join me today, and I thank you for listening. If you'd like to send me your thoughts on today's program, you may email me at Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at CFISFM.com. Alternatively, you may write me at Old Parlor Radio, 2880, 15th Avenue, Prince George, B.C., Canada, Victor 2 Mary, 1 Tango 1. From the CFIS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week.